not the only penis man.
What?
Florida man arrested for pulling gun on escort. She was touching everything in my house but my dick.
Rest in peace, this man's whole career.
Oh my god, no.
No!
Yeah.
No! I'm not owned. I know many things.
Hey. We're not deleting this. This is how the episode starts.
Welcome back to this week's episode of Slightly Informed. I was trying to decide if I wanted to say the date for posterity, and my brain just kind of broke. Because I was like, what is the date? Should I say the date it comes out on, or should I say today's date? So for posterity, it's the 23rd of February, 2020. And we're diving into another one. It's me, your host, John Arterburn, this week. And I'm with McLean and Nick, as usual. And we're going to be talking at the first half about the Nevada caucuses.
Yeah.
The debate.
Yeah.
Michael Bloomberg. But first, we're going to start you with a little poem. It pulled at my heartstrings this week, guys. And so I'm going to start you off.
Is it from the Maya Angelou of our times?
It is, really.
Okay.
Really.
Okay.
You know, he's a Rhodes Scholar.
Nick, can you hand me a tissue?
This past fall, we were campaigning near Reno. And in the middle of my remarks, the power went out completely. I was speaking to a dark room with no microphone, raising my voice to make myself heard. It only took a moment, but then something happened. One person held up the glowing screen of their phone, and then another, and then another. Everyone holding up their lit phones together until the whole room lit up. And I couldn't see who was who behind each light, who was young and who was old, who was white and who was black. Or Latino, or Asian, or Native, who was on 2 feet, and who was in a wheelchair. I saw each little light and knew that behind it was an American who saw the lights go out and knew to do something about it. All it took was one person, and others began to do the same. If we can light up a high school gym, we can light up a neighborhood. If we can light up a neighborhood, we can light a city. If we can light up a city, we can light up our country. And if we can light up our country, we can make this nation we love shine once more as a beacon to the world. Right. It hits home.
You guys remember that song, All of the Lights? Kanye West. Flashlights, spotlights, streetlights, all of the lights.
It's just trying to say like the most meaningless things you can to send a message. I love it. So, yeah. We just had to share that with you guys. And now I think, what are we leading off with?
Caucus.
Caucus? All right.
Caucus.
All right, Nick. Ass. You're wearing the hat of the man who won, so lead Woo. Us in.
All right. I'm just going to start off by saying thank you. Thank you, everyone. I know. We're right. We're right again. We'll be right again next week, and we'll be right again the week after that. We have won a decisive victory, and words of the best character Adam Sandler's played in his entire life. Do you want to win by 1 point, or do you want to win by fucking 30 points? And we did. 47% as of now, reporting 88% of the vote versus Joe Biden's slow and weak 20.9%. Right. Sleepy Joe, falling asleep at the wheel. Pretty much absolutely crushed. 79% of the Latino vote went to Bernie Sanders, 51% of minorities, including 70% of minorities under age 45. 70% of all people under age 45.
But he's not building the kind of coalition we need.
How could he beat Trump?
Yeah, there's no coalition there.
Oh, sure, you may have beat the best challengers to you on our side, but
you
how
know,
will
you
win?
You've got minorities, but how do you get the rich people on MSNBC? Really?
He says he's for minorities, but Joy Ann Reid does not like him.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. That was the best part of this week. I kind of got more sold on Bernie this week just by seeing how much, like, the establishment class freaked out.
They're melting,
dude. I was
dude.
Just like, okay, if it makes you guys this upset, I'll vote for Bernie.
He's just triggering all the right people.
He is. Chris Matthews freaking out, saying Bernie's like the Nazi invasion.
Yeah. Seen all the pictures of him over the week, like, as he's, like, as the results are coming in, he's, like, sweating. Like, he's literally thinking on stage, like, oh, fuck, they're bringing the guillotines
for
me.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, exactly. Man, it was so good.
Yeah, everyone's brain broke a little bit there. One of them was just like, you know, I just don't even know what the voters want anymore.
Like, no shit.
Maybe something, maybe change.
We've been
what
saying
what we voted
that.
For the last four times. Oh, my God. Like, Obama promised change. Trump was obviously changed. You can argue good or bad, but he was changed.
Yeah.
Like, people want something different.
Yeah. That's like, how you win.
Yeah, we're not taking Biden. No, thank you.
No one's saying, what did he say to his donors the first week of his announcing his campaign? He said, nothing will fundamentally change.
Yeah, that's what Biden said.
That literally his campaign was snake bit from that moment on.
Yeah, and I think it was a private fundraiser. Mm-hmm. He said, you know, like, we can make improvements, but nothing will fundamentally change under a Biden presidency. I was like, cool, that's exactly what the millennials want to hear.
I love the Chris Matthews thing. He said, I was reading last night about the fall of France in the summer of 1940. Talking about
as
Bernie.
Normal working class people do.
As everyone does.
Yeah, exactly.
Rides around the dinner table.
Exactly.
Reads of the Blitzkrieg.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, God.
It's the funniest thing, like, and I feel a little bit bad for the boomers because, like, if we had every bit of news and media and everything in our lives for, like, 40 years of your growing up, defining your existence, telling you the scariest thing that could happen is the Ruskies bombing your elementary school.
Or
there'll be some trauma there. Yeah. Like, yeah, I get it. But
I think outside of that, too, like, I think it was Joanne Reed who had one of these hot takes on MSNBC where she basically said, like, the people who are doing the most work and the most active are millennials who are fundamentally upset at the card they've been dealt in society, you know? That, like, boomers had it so comfortable that you could have, like my grandpa, I think they raised 7 kids, and he worked in a factory, and his wife was a stay-at-home mom. Like, that's not a reality for our generation, and we're very upset about it.
Yeah, my great-grandpa had 8 kids, all girls except for one boy, and basically farmed a 2-acre farm to provide for everyone.
Yeah.
With one laborer.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
Or even like my parents' generation, there were 2 workers in the household, but they were living incredibly comfortably, you know?
Yeah.
Like, your wife worked, but you had a lot of extra money left over that you could invest in things.
Yeah.
And try to make
one person's money went towards bills.
Yeah.
And they had some left over, and then the other person's income was just fun money.
Yeah.
Savings, just gotta do whatever.
Either fun money
do.
Or like retirement savings.
Investment.
And also, what they didn't save for retirement at all at that generation, they just like blew it all, and now they want us to bail their asses out.
Now,
two
parents
and then
have
they
want to
cut
jobs.
It off once we get to that age, you know?
You know, Social Security will survive for 30 years. That's when I'll die, but after that, you guys are kind of fucked, but it'll be good for me now, but you guys should really figure that
out. I'm going to ride this out.
Yeah, I'm going to ride this out, but after my generation, you guys are fucked, so figure that out.
You're planning on dying at 55, John?
No, I was playing a boomer.
Yeah, that was boomer voice.
That was boomer voice.
He doesn't have as good of a boomer voice as we do, McClane.
Yeah, right.
I'll tell you what.
You gotta get that better.
My
God.
Yeah.
Back in my day.
I think that's like fundamentally true is that like most people are not happy with the economy.
Yeah.
And they're coming out in droves to voice their opinion that like the status quo is not a solution.
Yeah.
And that's what Trump was. I thought about voting for Trump for a hot second because I was like, throw a grenade in Washington. What's the worst that could happen?
Yeah, like I realized after that it was a bad idea, but like right leading up to the general, I was just sitting there thinking like, okay, Hillary goes, that's 8 years which we can't challenge from the left flank. Like, we can't move the Overton window any further because she's refusing to
change.
And nothing will fundamentally
change. Where it was nothing will fundamentally
exactly. Change. But at least with Trump, there's that next chance. We have a chance in 4 years, and it can disprove some of these people. Clearly, it didn't.
Now, I'd like to be on record saying I didn't vote for him because, like, the racism and sexism got to me.
Yeah, yeah, no.
But I did think about it for a hot second and be like, oh, yeah, he's really going to fuck up Washington. So maybe that gets better. Maybe burn the house down to see if you could build a better one.
But the enemy of our enemy is not always our friend.
I agree with that.
I have a tweet.
But I can also see, like, you can see why people would vote for someone like
that.
Oh,
no, absolutely.
I can see why
it
is.
It just takes some analysis to see, like, from a big picture, like, okay, this is going to set us back more,
it'll
help us.
I can see why
people
did.
But even outside of that, even
round one.
Without the left is thinking of it, just saying, like, my life's shitty, do I pick the person who's going to do
nothing about it,
or do I pick the wild card?
Yeah.
Like, I think it's not insane to say pick the wild card.
Yeah,
I just think the better wild card this time, And Trump's no longer a wild card.
We know I'm exactly related to a lot of Trump voters. Yeah. I've heard them speak, and that's exactly what it is. It was just like an indifference towards the status quo from both sides.
Yeah.
And
also, when you start to hate something, you kind of just want to burn that shit down and just be like, well, yeah, I could leave those fuckers there where they're making $200,000 a year to sit on the Senate and accomplish fundamentally nothing. Or we could try to burn that shit down and see what happens. Like, see, that's why I liked Occupy. Like, even the Tea Party, I understood where they're coming from. I didn't agree with, like, anything they stood for.
Yeah.
But it was fundamentally a populist movement from the right.
Yeah.
Like, now you're seeing a populist movement from the left with Bernie and, like, our revolution and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
They're ready to turn it over.
And more on the train of the liberal centrist who kind of, you know, was shaming us for the kind of thing we were just talking about. People who were, say, voting for Bernie in the primary but ended up going for Trump.
Yeah.
Or people who didn't vote in the primary and still...
It's the wild card politics.
You know, went whatever. That's exactly it. Then there's people who kind of see things the opposite direction where, like... Any attack on the status quo, no matter which side it's from, is basically seen as their enemy no matter what.
Oh, yeah.
And so then they just end up completely oppositional. And I found one of the worst examples of this. Someone says, Liz Mayer or Meyer? I think it's Mayer.
Mayer.
Guys, I'm going to say this now. And she at least prefaces, I am not representative of many voters, but if it's Trump v. Bernie contest and Connecticut is within 5 points... Unlikely, but whatever. I will vote for Trump. They're both awful. They both love the British NHS, which is automatically disqualifying. Like, just, yeah, hate when people can access their healthcare.
Yeah, right.
And then I found out, I decided, just real quick, just going to scroll over her picture and just see what the people she's worked for before. She was the comm strategist for Blunt, an extreme right-wing person in the UK in 2016. Scott Walker in 2012 through 2015. Rand Paul in 2013.
Yeah.
Perry in 2012.
So picked a string of losers.
Fiorina in 2010.
Picked a very long string
Yes, of yes. Former RNC online comms director, a Tory libertarian, and then had to throw in Arsenal fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was
These
also
are the kind of people that scare Bernie, or that are scared by Bernie.
This,
you know,
was like, honestly like a really good Twitter take that I saw this week. Was it was from like Judd Legum or Legume. Also, guys, just side note, I'm always really afraid that we're going to, like, shout out some guy's tweet, like, a positive tweet, and it's going to turn out he's, like, hella racist. But, like, he had one good hot take, and we're just like,
he's the best!
Yeah. And it's going to turn out he's, like, a vehement white supremacist, and we're just going to be like, fuck, man. Like, that's how we're going to get canceled.
So, we are... slightly informed. Yeah. We don't look at. We see a good tweet. We're gonna shout it
and
out.
And if we have done this at all, or do this in the future, we're already apologized. We are already sorry.
This is a pre-apology.
Do not write a blog about us.
We don't look into stuff.
Do not write an article. Do not write a blog. Just already apologize.
His take was, I don't know if Bernie can beat Trump, but I will note that almost all the people who were sure Bernie would lose were also sure that Hillary would win. So
Jonathan Chait.
Yeah.
Fucking anyone on MSNBC.
I mean, even most CNN contributors, like, they were positive Hillary Clinton was going to... It was like a 90 to 10% chance. And then those are the same people who are like, Bernie would definitely lose. And it's like, mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I don't trust your opinion, Dom. Yeah. Don't trust me.
You kind of lost that.
Yeah,
we don't...
You get paid like $400,000 a year to sit on your throne commentating on dumb things without saying anything. We were talking earlier this week, that'd be an ideal career path for all three of us.
Oh, yeah.
Just be on some dumb show on MSNBC where we get to be a panel.
Totally.
Yeah, right?
I'd sell myself there. For that.
Yeah, exactly. You sit there, you say dumb things you believe, whether it's true or not, you get paid.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, great.
I think we have to really start pushing the argument that, like, so New York Times, when Trump got elected, felt they had to hire an extra conservative to match, you know, the new
Tell
tide.
That side of the story.
Yeah. Match a certain sect of the new political sphere. And they picked an anti-Trump Republican, of course. And he's like, he's like the worst.
Smart.
He's, Brett Bedbug Stevens. So I'm just really waiting to call out all of these people when not a single Bernie Sanders surrogate or anyone from a left progressive policy standpoint gets onto any major news network, any major newspaper. Like, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, and it's like, even if Bernie does lose, they're going to, like, trot around on their high horse saying they were right the whole time, but it's probably also because the media would influence that election by not pulling in the direction of Bernie, even from the leftist media sources. Like that, and then they would get to ride around their high horse and be like, "We told you. We told you.
We tried to warn
you." Yeah, exactly.
No, the thing with the difference between Trump getting elected and Bernie getting elected for these people is that at least with Trump, it gives them a foil. It gives them a purpose.
Yeah,
they are the guardians holding the dragon at bay. They
Have you
are
seen those
like,
articles where it's like, reporters, we need to do a better job?
It's,
like,
it's on us.
Yeah, right?
It's like, the battle for truth.
None of us want a savior. Relax, dog. Like, just report the news.
No one reads the 16th paragraph of your story about Trump's latest gaffe. Like, no one cares.
Yeah, I mean, Yang always said it, but he was like, if Trump proves he's Trump for the 1,000th time, am I supposed to care?
Yeah, yeah. Like, like,
no.
We know this.
Yeah. I know he is who he is. Let's all move on and try to beat him. I also think, just real quick, while we're sticking in the first half, we have to touch the debate because it was the best debate.
Oh, it was so good.
Yeah.
Guns were out.
Guns were out.
Oh, man, that was so funny.
Yeah.
Liz
destroyed him.
Yeah.
Bloomberg on stage. Like, you know, the predator, how, like, when it catches its prey, it, like, strings him from their ankles and, like, skins him. Like, that's how bad she just murdered
also,
him
Bloomberg
on that stage.
Also, Bloomberg had this facial expression the whole first half that was, like...
Fucking stroke.
No, his facial expression was, why are these poor people being so mean to me? Like, that was the look I read on his face. Like, he's used to being on, like, Wall Street and in Davos for the past, like, 15 years where he's worshipped as a god. And then he gets on this stage and Warren and Bernie are really mean to him. And he's just like, what did I do wrong? I mean...
On some level,
why are
I mean,
these poor people so rude?
I love that it was rumored that he turned down any coaching or anything like that. Like, it's the dumbest thing he could have done. He stood up there and some of the things he said, it was just like, oh my God, dude, what are you doing?
You know, the only reason that NDAs are around is because some women didn't like my sense of humor.
They didn't like my
it's
jokes.
Like, yeah, you know, sexual harassment jokes were not cool a while ago, Mike. Like, that's not a great excuse there, Mike.
Oh
yeah.
My God.
Every single one of them up there got in a couple good shots. Liz took the cake. She had him cornered.
Yeah. She lawyered him.
She was left, right, left, right. He was.
Yeah. He got hardcore
lawyered. Disoriented.
So you're saying you will free those women from those NDAs tonight? No. But.
Well, I read that he
caved.
He caved on only three?
No, he caved on saying all of them could ask to be released.
You can ask. I'm not
gonna
I'm going to say no.
That was kind of the vibe I got. But I think he just wanted, like, a positive news story about him. And then also, like, when Amy and Pete got into it, that was, like, so fucking
so
good.
So you're calling me dumb?
Fill me in on this, guys.
Oh, you missed
this
part?
I missed this exact part. Yeah.
Okay, so Pete criticized Amy for getting the president of Mexico's name wrong, which I think we talked about on a previous
week.
Yeah,
we did that.
Yeah, so Pete started to criticize her for that, and then she tried to respond, like, yeah, you know, it's not a trivia contest. Like, and then she started listing trivia facts. Like, it was something.
I'm not owned.
Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
not owned.
You
I
guys
know many
also
things.
Didn't know this other trivia. I got you. Yeah. And then Pete responds. Pete just kept digging at Amy, which I didn't really get the point of. Because, like,
talk about
she's
punching
not,
down.
Yeah, she's not out-pulling you. Like, and also, like, I think Pete had that vibe of, like, you know when, like, say you're around your, like, little brother or something, and you know you can poke at him and annoy him, but he's not allowed to be mad because your parents are right there. And so, like, it was like that where Pete kept poking her, but Chloe couldn't get too angry because the whole world was watching, and he kept just, like, jabbing her and jabbing her and jabbing her. And then she responded with, like, are you trying to say I'm dumb, Pete? And, like it was this weird exchange where, like, you started... For a long time, news stories have said how much Klobuchar fervently hates this man, and then he kept poking her on a debate stage, and it was just, it was so confusing, but she let out, like, so much rage at him, and then the moderators also were, like, asking Klobe why she wouldn't know something like that, and then she just started to get more flustered and, like,
I forgot, I'm sorry.
Everyone gets names wrong sometimes, I don't know, like.
I'd also like to touch on Warren's drive-by shooting. That was good.
At Amy?
No, it was at most of them. She says, Mayor Buttigieg really has a slogan that was thought up by consultants to paper over thin version of the plan that would leave millions of people unable to afford their health care. It's not
Medicare
a plan.
For all who want it.
It's a PowerPoint. And Amy's plan is even left. It's like a post-it note. And she says, Bernie has started very much. He has a good start, but instead of expanding and bringing in more people to help, instead of his campaign relentlessly attacking everyone, blah, 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 blah. And Klobuchar's response to that was, I must say, I take personal offense since Post-it notes were invented in my state.
That's true. That's like, the fact that happened.
What?
That is the fact that happened. And then, which is like, why would you?
Oh, I'm going to run from North Carolina and just be like, actually, all of you guys lose because we invented the airplane in my state. Yeah, and you've been flying in airplanes all over the country. Yeah.
What I also think
tried doing it without leeching off us.
Didn't Klobe try to defend the length of her healthcare plan? And
she did. She was like,
no, it's long and in depth kind of thing. And Liz was like, it's three paragraphs. And we Googled it that night. It was five paragraphs.
It was five. Yeah.
Yeah. Her whole healthcare plan was five paragraphs.
It was bad. And the other thing is, John was. Yeah. We were laughing our ass off when he said this, but he was talking about. What did he say? It was.
Who's he in this case?
Bloomberg when he was talking about his taxes. He goes.
Oh, I can't just go to TurboTax like all you poor people out here. he didn't include the poor people, but that was the implication, was like, you know, I have so much money that it takes a lot longer to file taxes.
It's like that picture of Diddy where he's like looking at a $1 bill and he looks confused by the side of a $1 bill.
That was honest. The vibe I got from Bloomberg the whole debate was, these poor people are just so rude, and they don't get me.
This joke killed
there
at Goldman
Sachs.
There was
even one part where I forgot who was criticizing him, but he just goes, enough! And you just got those really weird, like, oligarch vibes of, like, I'm done with this. Like, I'm done getting criticized. Like, and you guys know I could buy your family, correct?
Bloomberg called... Bernie is a communist.
That's true.
He called a communist on stage.
Oh, he also pulled like the most right-wing attack on Bernie possible, where he's like, it's funny to me that the leading socialist in our nation owns three homes.
Bernie jumped, but he defended himself well. He's like, well, I work in Washington, and Bloomberg's response to that was, that's the first problem.
Yeah.
Like, the fuck?
As a an official surrogate of Chairman Bernie's exactly. Revolutionary Guard, I will have James Carville, Chris Matthews, and Mike Bloomberg know that we've already started a list of everyone that calls him a communist.
Also, just overall facts, too, is, like, he's been a senator and a congressman and, like, a mayor for, like he's been in public service.
40
years.
Yeah,
I mean, you do make some money. Like, it's not wild to think that he would purchase a couple homes. Like,
it's not his fault he sold a book that made him more money than Joe Biden's entire
his
career of being
a
grifter.
His net worth is like $2 million, and it's like, yeah, that's what being successful for until you're 78 years old looks like. Like,
he was under a millionaire before he wrote his book, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he was like, you know,
I think he was
right,
right around a million,
eight,
and now he's right
to,
around $2 million.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
It.
Yeah.
Like, boom. Like, they try to attack him on this, and it's like, They did this too, just this is a little off topic, but they did this like Maria Ivanovich too, where they were like, how working in public service for 20 years did she amass $2 million? And it was like, yeah, dog, her salary was $400,000 a year. Like, do some basic arithmetic. Like what are you talking about? Like, they just like to throw these large numbers because then they're just like, yeah, you're not worth $2 million. So clearly he's a fucking asshole over here. Ignore my $62 billion, though.
Oh, God.
He goes, what, and I liked Bernie's last response to him. He goes, what tax haven do you live in?
Yeah. I did read an article that when Bloomberg was mayor, he lived in one of, like, the island tax havens, and he would catch, like, flights and helicopters up to New York to actually be mayor.
No.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, what? So he was the mayor of a city and
didn't live in the city.
Yeah, or had not his primary residence or something, so he couldn't get taxed as living there.
That is fucking wild. Yeah. Yeah, that debate was comical. That's the best word to use.
It kneecapped his campaign before it even started.
We hope. I still don't know what money does.
I'm scared to think what money does.
Yeah.
How much has he spent so far? $500 million?
I think he's between four and five. He spent $220 million in January.
Yeah, that's insane.
To kickstart it.
No, he kickstarted it earlier, I think.
November.
I guess that's true. Yeah, he did.
That was 1 month though. It was $220 million.
It just and this came out when he had spent $400 million, right?
Yeah.
And the thing I saw was you have $500 in your bank account. You spend $2.50 to get on the subway to get on the subway in New York.
Yeah.
You have spent more of your wealth than he has spending $400 million so far.
Oh yeah,
it just kind of blows my mind that you can spend $2.50. Yeah.
Right,
Monopoly dollars.
Yeah,
he doesn't care.
If I was like a psychopath and I had that much money, I would buy the presidency.
Oh yeah,
why not?
Chill job.
Yeah.
We're not ideological here. We're just poor.
Yeah, exactly.
we don't stand for anything. Well, since we're still talking about Bloomberg, before we go into the shout-outs, I think I'm going to do my little segment here. We are, editorializing a bit here. We're into politics. We talk about it quite a bit. And we thought we'd offer an olive branch to the Bloomberg campaign. This is free advice.
This is not a grift, Mike.
New segment, Mike. Yeah, yeah. Please send us money for more of this advice.
We will give you more advice.
This is free.
Not a grift.
Not a grift. So I'm just going to give some free advice to the Bloomberg campaign and see what comes of it. Starting it off, hire Jim Messina to be your campaign manager. It's worked out really well for everyone else the last 8 years. This is to his campaign, not to him. Switch Mike's night meds with his day meds.
Oh, that could be fun.
I think that'll work out for the best. Hire us to make a Bloomberg podcast. New slogan, Mike's going to build a better wall, and he is going to pay for it.
It's like 25 bill? I got that. Oh, man. That's so funny.
Ted Cruz, vice president.
Good call. Can't see any way that would go wrong.
All right, so that's it for my general advice. I've got some rebranding advice here. Now, Bloomberg, it already holds some negative connotations. Warren kind of, throttled him. There's already a news network.
The brand
named,
has been hurt.
It's hurt. So we're going to offer you, I've got seven new branding initiatives you can do here. So let's start it off. Shroomberg, become the legalized hallucinogens candidate. Scoop up that Tulsi crowd immediately. Doomberg 2020, appeal to the Doomer Gen Z kids and start talking about how death is inevitable.
He's already trying to meme his way in.
Yes. Sonic Boomberg. Sonic from the new Sonic movie is your running mate. Court Roomberg, to remind people who the king of NDAs is. Coomberg, Bloomberg, but he's horny online. All right. Oh, Broomberg, here to clean up Trump's mess.
I like that one.
And finally, Entombberg, keel over and die during the primary. Let Bernie win.
Oh, God.
Those are free. You don't have to pay a dime. If you want anything else, though, let us know.
Not a grift. We have really good ideas. What's our asking price?
You don't want to know how low I'll go for this. Yeah.
I was going to say $150,000.
You give me $50,000.
I think that's what Meme 2020 got paid for their memeing shit was like $150K. So, all right, are we heading into shout-outs, boys?
I think we head into shout-outs.
Okay. I'll start it off because we just got done talking about Bloomberg. I'm going to shout-out Twitter for suspending 70 pro Bloomberg accounts on Friday. yes, they broke the rules of Twitter, but I thought it was a great, great news article to see. I was like, oh, yeah, get them.
Right? True. I guess I'll go second. I wanted to shout-out just like a fun story I saw this week. The title of the story is Zamboni Driver, 42, Gets Win as Emergency Goalie for the Canes. And this is David Ayers. So usually, I guess, I'm not a big NHL guy, but I was reading up a little bit on this, and I guess it's normal to have, like, someone in the stands who could play backup goalie in case, like, both goalies get injured. So this guy says...
So you day trading during the day, goalie at night.
Exactly. Well, he's a Zamboni driver.
Oh,
and,
fuck.
Yeah. And he was sitting in the arena with his wife with, like, half-dressed for it, and then he got a call that, excuse me. He got a call that the Carolina Hurricanes goalie went down, so he got suited up, and I guess he works and lives in Toronto, but shut their shit down as goalie and helped the Hurricanes win. It was fucking tight as hell thing
so
to
cool.
do. Yeah.
<That's>
right? Isn't it so great?
That's awesome.
Yeah, so he had his first NHL win as the Zamboni driver.
Yeah. That is a great story.
A light one for you guys this week.
Oh.
All right, Nick, what do you have as your shout out for?
Doom and gloom. We're back to it. We're doing some doom and gloom here. Shout out to my former home state, Utah. Always love when Utah's in the headlines. God. It's always something good. It's always something good. Utah sends state employees to Mexico for lower prescription prices.
Oh, I heard about that.
Yeah, so.
That was on Last Week Tonight.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that.
He did a Medicare for All episode.
Oh,
and
my.
And they addressed this company.
Yeah. No, it's the state.
Oh, there's a company
state
who does
employees,
it too.
Like, of Utah. So government employees.
There's a company on That's Last insane. Week Tonight who was talking about. There's an insurance company who figured out it was cheaper to fly people to, I think it was San Diego, put them in a private car, drive into Tijuana, buy their prescription, and pay them $500 cash for making the trip than it was to just pay for their medicine in America.
Oh, my God.
Jesus.
Yeah, I was just watching that the other day. It's Last Week Tonight's Medicare for All episode, and they were talking about that. So I'm glad to know that it's a practice done widely.
Yeah, they gave an example of someone who was paying $450 in copays every few months for a medication. It would have increased to $2,400 every few months if she had not started traveling to Mexico. Okay. She traveled to Mexico to keep it at $450.
Yeah, that's wild.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Shout out Utah.
Shout out Utah.
Doing good things.
And shout out to the United States for not negotiating drug prices with drug companies.
Yeah, really stellar smart. Move.
Smart.
Yeah. We've got the smartest. We've got the brightest.
Oh, God. All right. Am I going to lead off our stories this week?
I think so.
We're going to talk about pop culture, boys.
Ooh. All right.
It's been something I've been talking at people about all week. Netflix's new television show.
Oh, God.
I've been talking to people about it. I've been talking at people about it. And it's a television show, my new guilty pleasure, Love is Blind. And it's the greatest show.
Sierra was telling me about this yesterday.
Okay, so it's wild. So you get split up into men and women and put in these two pods where you can, like, talk between the walls. And you got to decide if you want to fall in love just based off their voice. Yeah, and what they say. And what they say. You never get to see them. But Netflix also has a motto called no fatties or uggos. So they're all like 7 to 10s. I think they had one token fatty and one token uggo.
Uggos.
Yeah. So it's just buck wild because it's like.
I've never felt more attacked.
It's like, right? Yeah.
I fall into both those categories.
They haven't had like an average human being on that show that gets more than like 3 minutes of airtime. It was buck wild. And then it's so crazy too because like you'll be on like your third quote unquote date with someone and it's like talking through an hour, like an hour through a wall. And they'll be just like, man, I'm starting to really fall in love with you, girl. Like,
3 days.
What was that? What was that?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, one of my favorite scenes was this guy, he's a really ugly crier, and he's proposing to this girl, and he's like, will you marry me? And she just goes, stand up. And then so she waits and gets him to stand up, and then she's like, look, I'm going to be your equal, and I'm just as powerful as you. So will you marry me?
Oh, God.
It's like the cringiest, like most cheesy bullshit I've ever seen in my life, and I cannot get enough of it.
That's amazing.
Isn't it so good?
That is so good.
And that's
good.
Not even like the half of it. Like there's so many things I could point out, but I'm trying not to spoil it by saying people's names. But there's like one couple who's super cool. Another chick just rebounds like immediately and then is a douchebag about it the whole rest of the show. Like, just talking about how great the first guy was and how she still deserves to be with him. Like, to her now fiance about the first guy. Yeah, it's gold. Everyone who hasn't seen that show should
check
it out.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that show, 90 Day Fiancé?
Yeah, this feels very much like that, but taken to
but
the
like
most logical
worse.
Extreme. Yeah.
Well, the thing I love about 90 Day Fiancé is it's like, we found two toxic people from opposite sides of the globe, Let's see how it works.
Let's see how this goes.
It's just like some woman from like rural Ohio goes to Nigeria and like.
Yeah. Oh, one of the girls comes out after she's been like engaged and they've met each other's families and stuff. She tells her now fiance, like, yeah, I have $20,000 in student debt. And I don't really like working. I really want to be a stay-at-home mom. So, yeah, I've known you for 2 weeks, but can you just kind of pay that off for me? Yeah. Oh, my God. It's the best, man.
That's
you got to check
perfect.
It out. Yeah.
I have been looking for a new show to stream.
Yeah, yeah. That you'll binge good. This shit. You got to force yourself through episode one. But when you get through episode one, you're attached to these people.
Well, I haven't watched it, but I did see, what is it, a new one every 7 days? Or one? It's like a weekly show?
They've now released all the episodes except for the wedding episode, because the final episode that's been released now is a cliffhanger of, like, you get to, like, day 30 or whatever when you're supposed to get married the next day, and they have all their bachelor and bachelorette parties, and then it's, like, the cliffhanger's like, hey, like, I know we're doing this, but should we do this? Like, are we sure? Are we sure it's a smart idea to get married tomorrow?
Someone we just met.
No, it's wild. This one girl had the most straight fire roast on this guy, like, ever, because they were in a fight. And she goes, hey, you know how you've told me that this is the best sex of your life? You ever notice how I don't return that compliment?
Oh, shit!
Rest in peace, this man's whole career.
Right. For real. And it's like brought down. I would recognize that guy if I saw him at Vaughn's and I would just start laughing. Because it's just like, now that's part of television history. Yeah, so.
Poor guy. Oh.
Yeah, it was pretty great. So, yeah, everyone check that out. That's what I wanted to bring to the show today.
That is amazing.
Yeah,
that
one lady lets her dog drink. Okay. Sorry, last one, because I could go on highlight reel for the show for hours.
You're real excited about this, John.
It's so good. One lady very nonchalantly is drinking wine, lowers her wine glass, lets her dog drink some of her wine, and then continues drinking her wine. And just goes, yeah, I can't help it. He really likes wine.
Alcohol's great for dogs.
Yeah, right? And that's what I was thinking the whole time was like, you know, that's like super toxic for dogs, right? Like, she's just like, yeah, he likes it, you know?
I can't help it. Yeah. It's his vice.
So, yeah, I'm going to sign off with that on my
wine.
Story.
That's why we became French.
Exactly. But, yeah, everyone check out Love is Blind because that's my, like, new shit that I love to talk about. Who we passing
cool.
it to next?
I think McLean's got a new segment for us.
I do have a new segment. I'm pretty excited about this one. It is called Florida Man. So, I'm just going to kind of jump through 10 different news article titles.
I'm going to start a timer for you.
They all have to do with Florida Man. If you guys have a question, we'll dive into the article, but I'm just going to read the headlines because the headlines pretty much tell you everything you need to know.
Cool.
All right.
All right.
3, 2. Go for it.
All right. Florida man convinces people from all over the country to FedEx him tens of thousands of dollars in cash to his motel room to get rid of viruses on their computers. That was pretty great.
Yeah.
Florida man in kilt flashes anus at Renaissance Festival crowd.
Why would you wear a kilt? Yeah.
Specifically his anus.
Not his ass. He spread cheeks.
He spread them. They got a good look at his whispering eye. What? That's from Role Models.
My personal favorite, Florida man fatally shoots himself playing with his gun while waiting for a haircut. What?
You know you're in a safe part of town when a guy's just flipping his gun up and down, just waiting in line.
Sitting in the waiting area, great clips, just waiting.
He's got a holster and he's just spinning it around. Yeah. He's just spinning it on his finger, spinning it on the trigger.
44 Magnum, most powerful handgun in the world.
Lucky.
All right, hallucinating Florida man swings sledgehammer at demons, damaging several homes, including his own.
You can't tell me bath salts were not involved here.
Oh, yeah. No, that sounds like Florida.
All right, and this isn't, it's called Florida man because everyone knows that. But this one is a Florida woman. Uses hand sanitizer. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Florida woman uses hand sanitizer to wash out student's mouth. Not for cursing, but for talking too loud.
Be quiet, bitch.
Got that Amy Klobuchar energy.
Oh, God.
All right. Florida man wears fuck the police shirt to court and wins the case.
Fuck yes.
That is fire, yeah.
I want to find out his name. That's my new Twitter name, is whatever his name is.
I'll send you the article. Florida man pulls out gun and says, "I'll kill anyone in here," after he was honked at in the Burger King drive-thru.
Kill anyone in here?
Oh, my God.
Florida man dressed as Fred Flintstone pulled over after driving footmobile.
No way.
It is a smart car without doors, and the whole, you know, outside is like the Fred Flintstone's car, and he...
Cut holes for his feet?
Cut holes, I guess.
Oh, my
God.
This is amazing. Oh, God. Okay, actually, I think this one is my favorite. But Florida man arrested for pulling gun on escort. She was touching everything in my house but my dick.
Oh, my God. Florida, please never change.
That is amazing.
All right, and last one. So this one, let's see here. Sorry, my phone's being weird. All right, Florida man and his two friends rob drugstore of $32,000 in pills. Take precautions like wearing surgical gloves so they don't leave prints, but toss empty pill bottles out the window of their getaway car, which cops follow like breadcrumbs to their front door.
Wait, I
threw the last one in their driveway. They just never get it. They'll never find us.
Wait, I want to just question the wording on this one. Florida man and his two friends, are these people assumed to be not from Florida? Is this like a Georgia man?
I don't know. Like, that's what they say.
I would think it would be three Florida men.
Three Florida men,
yeah. But it's Florida man. Can we go back? And his two friends.
I want to find out a little more on the guy who wore the fuck the police in court and won. What was his charge?
All right, let's see.
I gotta
here.
Know this.
All right. Florida man walked into a courtroom wearing fuck the police t-shirt, won the case. Michael Burns of Broward County says he was videotaping police officers kicking people off public property after being told by one of the cops they were trying to ruin their fun.
He's a sovereign citizen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said one of the police officers told him to leave the scene, although he believed he wasn't legally obligated to do so. Burns says he determined there wasn't much else to record, and he decided to go. As he was pulling out, he says Broward County Sheriff began following him, and he claims to have slowed down to under 15 miles an hour, but the cop maintained his pursuit. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, pulled over, and... Oh, geez. Okay. He wrote that six other police officers showed up and surrounded his car. So he went to court with a shirt that said, "Fuck the police," and while I was told I had no Fifth Amendment right, and... I was actually allowed to ask any questions during my trial, he wrote. I somehow still managed to win.
That's fantastic.
He's
That's
a sovereign great. Citizen.
An American
the
hero.
The people who record the cops yeah. and be like, yeah, don't fuck with me. I'm allowed to do this. Yeah, and then they start cursing at police officers and shit. It's
How do you want to be a meme tomorrow, bitch?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you want your kids to make fun of you for being that cop?
Yeah, it's great. I don't believe in any of their ideals, but they make great videos. They're really good online.
Well, it must be nice to be white. As an African-American, I'd never walk into a courtroom demonstrating such open defiance and disrespect. But before he went, he Googled protesters in Ferguson and decided that, fuck the police.
Yeah.
I'm a wear shirt that says fuck the police.
Fuck the police.
Nice job, dude. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, that is dope. Shout out from the whole squad. That's our fourth shout
For
out.
For sure. Yeah.
What was it, Michael Burns?
Michael Burns.
Michael Burns. Shout out. American hero.
Right.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah, right. that segment's
it's
a lot of fun.
It's your story time.
It is my story time? All right. Well, I was between two stories here, so I am going to go with the more lighthearted of the two, because the other one might sound a bit like bullying, so I'm gonna not do that. if we've got time, I might let you in on that one. This one here.
I already planned an Easter egg. I think
the battle between Yukon neighbors ends with alleged Roomba attack.
No, we've talked about this.
Did you guys? Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
This one's good.
So a man, I guess if you guys have already read this, they were having a fight over the fence.
Someone was tearing down the fence,
yeah, going on a violent spree, throwing fecal matter, breaking down the fence, and then barricading himself inside his home afterward. Yeah. Eventually, the bomb squad and SWAT team were called out, and he was taken into custody. I told him, if you break through this fence, I will have to shoot you, said his neighbor. I was scared for my family. He threw fecal matter out from his driveway onto our yard.
It's a nice response. That's what I do.
Just shitting straight into his hand and lobbing it. Like.
Yeah. He's like, gotta reload.
Frag out.
Well, back in 3 hours is lunchtime.
And then he decided that wasn't enough, so he literally threw his Roomba, full-size Roomba, just hucked it at him.
It's a mean Frisbee. It's got some weight to it.
So that one was a short one, and it was a good laugh, good belly laugh.
In his defense, I think he was throwing the Roomba to clean up the poop he threw. I think he was like, you know what, that was probably pretty fucked up. Here's the Roomba, I'll fix my mess. All right, Nick, what's this next one?
Next story is the only story that's ever made me feel anything like sympathy towards Pete Buttigieg. I have, for the first time ever, sided with that sniveling little rat, because top evangelical Christian website says Pete Buttigieg's homosexuality makes him, quote-unquote, deserving of death.
Jesus.
This is from, what was the popular Christian magazine Charisma.
Never heard of it.
And decried how people are celebrating a presidential candidate is publicly introducing and even kissing without shame his husband in the name of progressivism.
What?
he's kissing's fine, but you should feel bad about it.
You should visually look ashamed to do it. What the fuck is this?
You should be apologizing as you're kissing.
Oh my God.
There's one that it came up on Fox News too, where like they were talking about Rush Limbaugh attacked him for kissing his husband on stage.
Yeah.
And some like brave journalist on Fox News was like, yeah, he's had one partner that he's been faithful to in marriage. We should be talking about Trump's three wives and how he cheated on one while she was pregnant with a porn star. And, like, she was just rattling off all this stuff. And then the Fox News person was like, okay, well, no need to get personal.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Well, no need to talk about my personal friend like that.
Exactly. It was like not even 45 seconds after getting personal on Pete Buttigieg for being gay, they were just like, don't attack our president.
Quote from the article, Buttigieg will also do his best to marginalize those who are convinced that these relationships are contrary to the will of God.
Oh, God. It's crazy how many people still believe this stuff.
I mean,
it's wild to me.
It's one of those things that you like go day to day pretending doesn't exist anymore, and then all of a sudden something just slaps you in the face hard with one of these people that's just like living in like 1985
and have like very casual conversations about like hating gay people or
racism. You're just like, whoa,
yo, dog,
whoa, okay.
Speaking of Pete, I totally forgot to mention when after John read his little poem that it so happens that was very, very, very similar to something that Barack Obama.
No way. Pete
plagiarizing Pete.
Okay, guys, let's be honest. It wasn't plagiarizing in a direct plagiarism sense. It was plagiarizing in the sense of like a high school kid who copies and pastes their friend's thing and then feeds it through the thesaurus. It just changes the words around a little bit. That's the vibe I got.
At least he did a little more respect than Melania's
direct copy.
Just reading.
These are my daughters. But he literally swapped out voice with light. Obama's one voice can change the room, and if one voice can change the room, it can change the city, and blah, blah, blah.
It was a high school gym. Not a room, McClane. He didn't just switch the location.
So I love his new name. I mean, he has so many great names, but Plagiarizing Pete is a pretty good one, yeah.
Mayor Cheat, Pete the Rat, Sneaky Pete, Plagiarism Pete, it might stick.
Yeah, plagiarism Pete might stick.
Has Trump given him a nickname yet?
No.
No.
Oh, it's he hasn't given him. I'm excited. That I know of. I'm
no,
excited.
No, he just says his last name. I went Buttigieg.
Yeah, Buttigieg.
Buttigieg.
Yeah. I just sent Nick a video. I think it could be a good chaser.
What's the title?
We are out here asking random cops the same silly questions they ask regular citizens. I'm ready for
you
this.
Ready?
I'm ready for this.
I think this is the video, but...
Oh. All right, this is going to be the chaser. Let's
lead us out. Lead it just out. It popped into my brain on the sovereign citizen topic.
So, this is going to be good.
Who are you?
I'm Detective Mike Jardine.
Oh, yeah? What are you working on? What are you working on?
It doesn't matter what I'm working on. I'm asking you, what are you doing here taking pictures?
Where have you been today? Have you been here all day? Or have you been out and about a little bit?
What is this about? Who are you?
I'm asking the questions. Where have you been today?
This guy looks like every cop who's ever pulled me over ever.
You're on this property. You're on this property, so you need to ask... answer my questions.
Are you drunk? Why are you slurring your words today? Have you been to the bar today at all?
Who are you?
Have you been to the bar today?
Who are you?
I'm an investigator.
Investigator for who?
Investigative journalist at all.
Working on a fraud case. That's
okay.
Where I've been.
Okay. Have you been to the bar at all today?
No.
Okay. You got any drugs on you? Have you used any drugs today?
What a ridiculous question.
That's not a ridiculous question.
Deputy Harris, you know who this guy is?
Do you know where he's been today?
He starts asking his buddy questions.
I don't keep tabs on him.
Okay.
On the about.
Do you know what time his shift started?
Oh, this is great.
Does he usually drink on the job or no? Not that anybody knows of for sure. Have you guys ever breathalyzed him?
He got him with a classic, like, job? When did you stop beating your wife?
Would you submit to a breathalyzer for me right now?
You're ridiculous. You know that? You've got about 5 minutes to get out of here right now.
Or what?
Or what? You're on
my property.
This isn't your property.
Is. Shut the hell up. Get out of here now.
What'd you say?
I said shut up and get out
no,
of here.
No, you get out of here now.
Hey, you better get your boy. Get your butt back in your office and do your job.
You shut up and get out of here.
You get your butt back in your office and do your job.
No.
You get your ass back in there. You don't look back here again. I'll be watching you. You are now under investigation.
To be clear, it has not been proven that Mike Jardine is or was drinking on the job.
That's so good.
Credit where credit's due. I guess it comes from a channel on YouTube called James Freeman. Oh. Like Freeman. And I guess he does a lot of this shit. But that one was one I saw last week that I was dying.
Get your ass back in there.
Get your ass back inside.
Don't you look back.
That's so good.
Oh, man. So, yeah. I think that's a good way to play us out this week.
This is the correct way to be a white person.
Yeah, America. Exactly.
This is what...
Get your ass back to work, boy.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, man. Okay, guys. Well, thanks for tuning in to another episode. And we'll see you on the other side.
See you on the other side. Please subscribe. Please follow, rate, review, Spotify, Apple,
tell a
Google,
friend, you know?
YouTube. Yeah, share it with them.
You know, sometimes you just haven't talked to that guy in a long time.
Be like,
you haven't
hey.
Talked to a friend in 2 years? Just text him out of the blue. Be like,
weird
hey.
Dude from high school?
Yeah.
Text him.
That guy might like this.
That guy that sent you an invitation to be part of his multi-level marketing
exactly.
scheme, respond with our episode.
Exactly.
This one. Or the last one.
True. All right, guys.
All right.
Later.
Love you.